A lot of people want you to surrender to different things, but God wants us to surrender to the love of Jesus. He doesn't want you to surrender to harm or sin. Sin is always sin, no matter how you try to justify it. Amen? It is. I mean, but you're thinking about your surrender to your love. And I thought of, in chapter 14 of John, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Wow. You ever violate one of God's commandments and try to justify it? Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think back here, you know, going to the department store needing a pair of shoes. And a pair of shoes I really liked, I had enough money for it. I'm like, come on, God, I really want these shoes. I tried them on, and the phone rang, and the person who was helping me out had to go answer the phone. I thought, man, thank you, God, and I walked out with my shoes. I mean, God called that phone to ring, and that person around the corner to answer it, and I had them shoes on, and I was already asking God for it, so I walked out. And I had a brand new pair of shoes. I mean, doesn't the Bible say God works in mysterious ways? You don't think so. Why, Bob? You're right, Bob. Thou shalt not steal. Don't matter how you try to justify, sin is always sin. Amen? And God would never cause His people to step into sin to meet a promise or desire that you have. And so we have to maintain ourselves is patience. And surrender to the love of Jesus. And love Him by keeping His commandments. Now, I didn't take the shoes, you know. I couldn't run fast enough to get out of the store, you know. But I think we've all been there in our lifetime wanting something so bad that we step out from the umbrella of God in order to get it, justifying in our mind, well, He knows exactly what I need. And realize that Satan is trying to tempt us to break our promises with God. Oh man, we got pens coming from heaven today. Oh my land. Oh man, keep shaking till the money comes out. That's what I want to see, you know. Amen. Hey, one thing I want to bring your attention this morning, you notice the tables aren't up today. And reason being is, if you look down at your floor, Big Joe came in yesterday and shampooed our carpet for us. And I came in last night and set the chairs up, but I didn't feel like carrying the 10 tables out. So somebody will be blessed with that today. But yeah, we got the carpet shampooed, so it looks a lot better now. It smells really awesome. Amen. I know it smells good, too. It's amazing. We got to do it more often every 5 years. You know what I'm saying? It just I'm waiting for the first person to spill their coffee on it. No, I want you to. I want you to get it over with. I want you to be the first one and not me. But we're still kind of dancing around in John 15 this morning. So if you want to jump into John 15. I'll share it here. I'm going to start with verse 1. And what the Lord is doing, he's speaking to His followers this morning. Reminds us in John 15, 1, He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so it may bear more fruit." And you know, I always stop there to remind you that we're all going to go through stuff in life. Okay? Sometimes it's God pruning us, or sometimes it's because we choose sin over the Word of God. Okay? And the difference is, if we stay in sin, we go through all this roughness, then we go to hell when we die. When God prunes us, we go through all this rough stuff, we go to heaven. Amen? See the difference? We're all going to go through stuff. I personally, I'd rather go through some stuff that gives me a happy ending. You know what I'm saying? Amen? Sometimes we got to look towards the heavens to see to really encourage us out for the joy that God promises us, because we're going to go through some stuff here on earth. He promises that if we're going to be a follower of Christ, a true believer, that we're going to be persecuted and go through some tribulations. I'd rather be pruned and produce fruit for my Father in heaven than to produce fruit for the devil. But in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm going to stop there for a moment. And what he's trying to tell the disciples and us as followers of Jesus, the only way we can do what God's called us to do is stay attached to Jesus. Amen. The Lord can reach down and pick us up from the very pits of agony in our life. Amen. Ever been there before? No hope. He picks us up. Man, restore us. We get so excited. Thank you, God. I got a plan and purpose in my life now. Thank you that man, you took away my sin debt. And then we kind of start walking away from him. We start doing things on our own. Ever been there? We start, I know. I know he died for me. I know all that. But you know, I've done a lot better now. And what we're doing, we're lying to ourselves. We're not doing any better. Okay, we're falling back to where we came from. And he's giving you a heads up. You have to stay attached to me. You have to abide in me. I have to stay in you. And there's no way around it. No matter how we try to water things down or how we might try to be convinced that, you know, yeah, I needed all that when I first got saved. But now, well, I'm more mature and I don't need to really listen to the Word of God and obey it like I used to, you know. And folks, I can get into your thought process. Okay? And what he wants us to recognize is that we need that vine attached to the branch, which we are, and that's where the fruit comes from, more today than ever before. And the best illustration I think of this morning, because I'm not going to eat another onion during the service, or garlic, you know. The whole purpose was on the onion was, by smelling my breath, you could tell whether or not I truly ate the onion. And when you smelt my breath, it was cinnamon candy. Okay? And so, we're always looking, we're always making sure that we're not being deceived from other people, but truly not from ourselves. Okay? And the best thing I illustrated this morning when hanging out with the Lord was I got a garden hose at home. In fact, I got 4 or 5 garden hoses at home. I have enough garden hoses I can stretch from one end of my property to the other almost. And I own 2 acres of land out there, you know. But I remember a while back I hooked it back up again, and I've got that new Cub Cadet tractor, and it's got a thing you hook your hose up, you turn it on, and it cleans itself. It's awesome. I mean, wow. Well, I took it down to the hill, and I plugged it in, and I turned the water on, and it wasn't running very good, you know. I got a lot of pressure. I got a well pump, but I got a lot of pressure on that thing, and it hardly came out. So I started following the line back. And here I had a hole in the hose. It was a black hose there that had been rotten. I taped and I put electrical tape around it, and it popped. So my hose was attached to my water supply, right? Because without the hose being attached to the water supply, nothing's coming out of it, you know. But here I found out I had a hole in it, so I plugged that hole, and then I started using it again. But I still didn't have that pressure like I'm used to from the very front of it, at the beginning of it. But I realized that I was stretched out too far. So I moved the tractor another 100 yards towards the house, shortened the hose, which made me closer to the supply and the pressure tank. And I had a lot more pressure, a lot more force. And I could do what I had to do. And that kind of reminded me of our lives itself, you know. number one, that hose laying there not attached to anything isn't going to do me any good. It might give you a false sense of security. Man, look at Starkey. We got this wiener roast today. He's got 200 yards of hose stretched out there. Boy, them woods catch on fire. We have nothing to worry about, do we? We'll get the woods caught on fire and grab that hose. There's nothing coming out of it. We've been deceived. Okay? But when I attached it, the first piece to the house, a lot of pressure. Man. Boy, if I can put out the little campfire in the backyard, Daryl, you know what I'll do? I'll just make a fire a little bit bigger back in the backyard. And so I put another piece of hose on. And then I put another piece of hose on. And when you start doing that, giving a greater load, you got less pressure. And you can't do what you need to do with that hose. And our life can be the same with Jesus, you know. Number one, we have to be attached to the supply. And that's Jesus Christ. You know, we were grafted into the family through the blood of Jesus. Grafted, I mean, we're not a Jew. We're a Gentile, born again, grafted in. And the only way that we can survive, the only way that we can do what God's called us to do is stay attached to that vine and allow that to pump into us all the time. And at the same time, make sure that we don't stretch ourselves out so far that we lose that pressure, we lose that power, and next thing you know, you find ourselves defenseless. Next thing you know, we find ourselves being beat up all the time by Satan. We find ourselves falling into sin. We find ourselves not having the power that God has offered us through the blood of Jesus Christ to do what He's called us to do. And so I've learned one thing now, that when I use that hose, I go back and make sure that black electrical tape's on there. I want some of that stuff you see advertised on TV. You can put it on a screen and go fishing with it or something, you know. What's it called? Flex tape, you know. That's probably what I need to get. But you know what? You all know me. I'm a tightwad. And that stuff is $19.95 a roll. But call it a day, we'll double the order. And I get electrical tape for 69 cents. Yeah. But sometimes you realize the extra cost is worth it. And that's the same way in our life. The extra cost that it takes for us to truly discipline ourselves is worth it. Because truly, there's a power available to the church and to you individually. There's no power on earth that's greater than that. And that's the name and blood of Jesus Christ. But we have to do the same thing. We have to check our life. Is there any holes in my hose of life? Did I got things draining me? And we do. We have to tape that. Sometimes you have to take it and cut off the supply and go back from the beginning. You know, I've got things at home, but I can actually run four hoses off the same supply. A front yard, backyard, down behind the house, and where she does her flowers at. But if I got them all turned on at the same time, I don't have the same pressure that I have using one of them. And so I got to determine, okay, what is most important? And our lives the same way, guys. What is the most important thing in our life? That's where you put your time at, and your energy, and your strength. But he says, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. Total. Surrender to my love. He says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Amen. If you love me. You think, well, God only loves me if I keep His commandments? Well, His love is in His commandments. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything's wrapped up. Everything that we need, you find in the Word of God as we follow His Word. It's like a surprise package, maybe, you know? Hey, abide in my love. Love. What is your love, God? It's my Word. It is my Word. And we can step outside the Word and get through some stuff, but it's going to fall. Amen? Don't be fooled. Don't ever be fooled that you can step out of the Word of God, do things your own way. Otherwise, do it in against God's Word and think that it's going to turn out. Because God loves you so much, it's going to fall. Because if you come to Christ and surrender your life to Him, He's not giving up on you that easy. If He sees you into sin, He's coming after you. Understand that. Whatever it takes. There's a song called Reckless Love. I don't remember who sang that. I know some people talked about what a terrible song that say that God's love is reckless. But what I mean reckless is He'll tear down anything that's built up to block you from Him. That's awesome. That's the number one thing, is getting you back on track. And so I'd rather stay on track. I get tired of have to get back up and dust myself off again when I realize why I keep falling off. Amen? Now I realize on that tractor I was talking about fell off a couple of times the other day because the hill's too steep for me. And I tried to figure out, do I want to roll or do I want to flip? And I thought, you know what? I don't want to do either one of them. So I come down off the wheel, get some more weights on there, and I will be able to go ahead and do that. But that's why He wants us, again, to recognize ourselves, be honest with ourselves. Amen? Truly be honest when we look at the Word of God in our lives. Amen? In verse 5, He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. In verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And don't mention any name, but can you think of anyone at one time that was walking with the Lord on fire for Jesus? And the next thing you know, they start getting grumpy. Pretty soon, the joy is gone. Pretty soon, man, that awesomeness that they presented. I think the word we would use maybe, they turned to be an old prune. You know what I mean by that? Old prune? Old prune, okay. What else can I use to describe it? A grouch. Something really grouchy. Agitator. I don't know, I can't see my face, but I'm grouchy. See, what has happened is they disconnect themselves from the vine. Now, not saying that they purposely did, but events can happen in a person's life and cause them to stop believing. Satan can get involved in a situation and convince them that everybody else is wrong and they are right. Ever been there? Have I ever been there? And so they are removed from the vine and they don't know it. And it is that God turns His back on us that we are convinced to turn our back on God. Convinced that we can do this thing ourselves. Hey, I call upon the Lord. Yes, I said that prayer, but I'm not going through all the hoops. And the next thing you know, a person starts drying up and they're so miserable themselves and miserable everybody around them. And what has happened? Disconnected from the vine. And God warns us on that. He says, especially the days that we live in, that a lot of people's hearts are going to grow cold to the things of God. Why? Because that vine, the Word of God, isn't being pumped into them. And that's truly how you do it. You stay connected to the Lord, hear His word, but have it in your spirit that I'm going to obey that word. Now, we all can read in Revelations about heaven, how beautiful it is, and these pearls and gates. I mean, can you imagine what they'd be worth there on earth right now, you know? How awesome it is. We can see all that and be excited about that. But if we're not hearing the word of God, and we're not following the word of God, if we're not doing what Jesus says, you will keep my commands, then we're fooling ourselves. Now, we had a great discussion last night about how salvation is a free gift. Amen? You can't earn your gift. You can't pay for it. You receive it. When we acknowledge that we need Jesus, we need, yes, that we have sinned and Jesus is the only way to heaven. The only way to the Father. But it's more than that. It's the only way for peace and strength and truly be loved is through Christ. But once we receive that gift, truly receive it, I believe we truly have to do what we can to protect that. Otherwise we lose it. Not because of God leaving us leaving Him. Who wants a horse? Anybody want a horse? You want a horse, Rene? Okay, man. If I brought a horse in next Sunday, say, Rene, I got this. It's free. It's paid for. It's an awesome horse. Talk about horses. We watched one last night on the RFD channel, a riding horse sold for $72,000. I had no idea. But I brought this horse in, Reno. Already paid for it. I give it to you. Oh, man, thank you, thank you. And you take the horse home. Oh, man. And about 2 weeks later, I come and say, man, I want to go see that horse that Reno's got. I walk in the barn. It's dead. What happened, Reno? Nothing. I brought it home. It must have been deficient when you gave it to me. I brought it home. I tied it up in the barn, you know. And I come back and it's dead. Reno, did you water it? Did you feed it? You have a vet check it? Did you? No, you didn't tell me that. I said I wanted a horse and you gave it to me. You didn't tell me what to do with it. Amen? Now, how many people think or would know you got to water a horse? Or feed a horse? Yeah, a lot. Why do you know that? Because you got to eat. Because alive, a living thing.
Yeah, we got to eat. A human has to eat. Mm-hmm. As
well,
as
well, we eat the animals. Yeah. Right. But somewhere, anybody watch Roy Rogers? I saw them pull up in the horses and jump off and they start drinking out of a watering trough. Amen. Yes, we learned from experience. We knew from watching other people. Now, some folks who've been in the big city had no idea about horses and cows and stuff, you know? They're not even sure where their meat come from. But us rural folks, we have a good idea. But see, that's just second nature to us, right? It just, like you said, it's alive, it has to be fed, eat, maintain, you know? If you're not going to take care of the horse, but don't get the horse. But for no, just that, I want this horse because it looks so much fun. You ever go out to the fair and watch them draft horses and all the stuff? You ever watch this, what they call them? Clydesdale and stuff. They hook up these wagons and they do all this maneuver and stuff. We love watching that because you can sit there for hours and watch them. You might have to walk around the fair that way. I don't want one of those Clydesdale draft horses. Are they draft or are they volunteer? Okay, I know. I don't want to own a farm. No. I worked on a farm. I love working on a farm. I don't want to own a farm. Because then you have to maintain the barn, the vet bills, you have to maintain the tractors, the market. I want to show up, have fun, throw manure, and go home. You know what I'm saying? But, see, if you don't know about that, man, anybody watch Green Acres? Oh, man, that would be me if I was going to be, okay. Look like so much fun. Wow. So you go out and you buy a farm, you get there, and you realize, nah, it's nothing like Green Acres at all. A lot more to it. What's that?
My phone is.
Your phone, yeah. She has to climb a tower in order to get a phone call, you know? But you realize, well, there's more to it. Once you buy the farm, then you got to maintain it. Okay? when you get this horse, we have to maintain it. It's not like an awesome thing. What Renee would have to do is, okay, I want a horse. Well, hey, I got one for you, man. Okay, but before I receive this horse, what's all involved in it? Because I never had a horse before. Well, or no, you got to, it's 24/7 just about. You got to feed, you got vet bills, you got to break them if you haven't been able to ride yet, you got to house them, all this stuff. And Renee said, whoa, wait a second. I thought I wanted a horse, but maybe I don't. Maybe I don't, because, man, I'm not sure if I could commit myself to do all that. Well, if we take that same thought process now, let's step over to our salvation from Jesus. Amen? Now, he says, always weigh the cost. Now, nobody here wants to go to hell. And God offers a free gift through Jesus Christ to redeem us from our sins. He paid the penalty. So come on, free gift. You want to receive this. But it's going to cost you. And what's going to cost you, as you receive this free gift, it's going to cost you your life. How many people know that? Amen. What do you mean, my life? Okay. This, I'm going to put it this way, the illustration. The spirit you're going to receive, it's soul food. And it has to receive the Word of God to maintain. Otherwise, be like that horse. It's going to swell up and die. So if we get this mindset. Yes, I received this free gift. Jesus paid for it. Man, the Spirit of God, He lives in me now. Oh man, I surrender to His love. And I show you my love for you because I will keep your commandment. It's boom. And you allow that connection to the vine to pump that food into you because you want that. Do you? Is that what we want? Or do we just want to own the horse and put it on display? I mean, Renaud could probably prop that dead horse up, had his head hang out in the window for a couple, three more weeks before people would recognize it as being dead. Amen? And I think the same way we have to watch out for ourselves, we can be spiritually dead on the inside, but showing to the world that we're okay. Renaud could call me and say, hey, Stark, you know the thing I wanted? Yeah. It's not moving very well this morning. Can you help me out here? Well, yes or no. Now, he might be kind of embarrassed, thinking, oh, I wanted this thing, I got it, I'm not sure what to do with it. But man, he was concerned. So I would call Chuck and Marty and say, come on, let's check on this horse, because I didn't know enough about horses either, you know? But we bring that thing, and we would do what to that horse? We would revive it. We would bring it back to life. We would pour into it what it needs in order to be strengthened and be the horse that it's supposed to be. And God, the same way with each one of us, we find ourselves being disconnected from that vine that the Word of God is not poured into us, or we're not digesting the Word. The table is being set. We're looking at the food, but we're not bringing it into our life. And we're slowly inside that we've been dying. But Jesus Christ isn't giving up on you. He'll bring revival to your spirit if you call upon Him and turn and man, be connected again. I mean, that horse for Renault, look what all he could do with it. I mean, he could ride it around, save his feet. He could hook it up to a cart and go around and be a taxi service, take people where they need to go. He could fill it full of food in the cart and feed people with it. So many things he could do if he revives it, and that horse can be exactly what it was created by God to be. And same with you and I. With Christ in us, man, we can be exactly what Christ has created us to be. You know? He's created you to be you. I mean, Renaud's got a horse. You might have a donkey. Yeah. You got a chihuahua. Sorry. Okay. But everyone thing has a purpose. Okay? You know your life. You know what's inside of you, Jeff. Stephen knows what's inside of you. And so does God. He has exactly what you need through the Son, Jesus. But we have to recognize, yes, we need it. I can't do this on my own. And totally sell out to Him. You know? And to be honest with God. Because He already knows it. But when we speak out to Him and say, God, listen, I need Your help. I've tried it. What's going on? You ever have something go in your life and you think, what is going on here? I mean, I'm following Jesus. I'm positive I am. But, I mean, I know. But my life is upside down right now. You ever have that thought? Well, who right-sided your life the first time? Jesus. Amen? Who can bring you back around again? Jesus, if we allow Him. Mm-mm. Can you imagine me bringing Marty and Chuck to Verneau's, check on that horse? And they start giving him this knowledge they have over the years of raising animals and stuff. And they start saying, well, you know, first thing you got to do, buddy, man, you have to feed this thing. Amen. And I said, wait, Renaud, no, you don't have to. Don't listen to them guys. Just give them water. Just give them water. You don't need to give them food. Bologna? Well, you can feed them bologna. I know what you're saying. It's wrong. But you see the competition we got going on now for this horse? Is that I want to think I'm somebody. You know, I don't need just the Chuck and Marty to tell them how to raise a horse. I'll tell them how to raise a horse. You know how to raise a horse? Me either. I've ate one before. But which one sounds correct? Chuck and Marty. What sounds right about a life of Jesus? The Word of God or people around you? Word of God is guaranteed, right? People around you might have the greatest intentions. When they tell you something, but if it doesn't line up the Word of God, it's wrong. Folks, I think one of the things that Satan uses a lot to derail us is this. I know, but hey, listen, guys. Vicky, God understands your circumstances. And they'll use that to give you a little umbrella of it, to make you feel good that you can stay in sin. And think, well, God understands. I mean, He understands that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and your heart breaks if we fall into sin. But if I say, well, Vicky, you know, I know you're not supposed to be doing that. The Word of God says no, but you're doing it anyway, but I understand your circumstances, so you're okay. Now, I'm your pastor telling you that. You going to believe me? But you can believe what I just told you? That you can stay in your sin, that God understands that, and you'll be okay? You look for another preacher. Why? Because the Word of God says you can't. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's awesome. I don't mean to pick on you this morning, but you're right in front of me there. But see, knowing the Word of God, and when you study it, when this is your life, it gets in you, and right away you'll recognize, wait, that's not true. Have I ever been deceived? Been deceived on something you knew nothing about. Then later on, you start reading, studying, or you heard from somebody who's a professional, that's not the same thing as Starkey told me. Now, you have no reason to be deceived in that area again, do you? Because you heard the truth, and you know it now. And in these days, it's never been more and more important to abide in this Word of God, to allow it to pour into your life, and follow the Word. That we would consume this. I mean, read it. Pray. Seek Him. And not to do as entertainment, but do as life support. How many people in pretty good health right now? How many people want to be better health? Yeah, same here. I want, you know, I'm doing better. I want better health. And my wife keeps pumping new stuff into me all the time, you know? And I want that. She laid all the stuff out on the table and, okay, you gotta drink this, swallow this, take that. I mean, everything. I don't know what it is. Chuck, if I were kind of, what happened to Starkey? Do a blood test, will you? That's two. Whoa. Oh, old gray mare, she remembered. Well, I didn't say it was you, honey.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. What's that? Okay, thank you, son.
Back in your life.
Yes, my son, yes, yes. But it goes back to, you know, I'm not satisfied. I'll never be satisfied, probably, with my health. Because I always want greater and greater health. Amen. God has brought me a long ways. He brought many of you a long ways. He brought you back when we thought it was over with. Has he not? Amen. Spiritually and physical. And it's maintained to the Word of God. If you abide in me, he says, I abide in you. Man. That is awesome. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That is verse 7. Ask whatever you wish be done for you. And when I read that, and the more that I mature in the Word and the Lord, the greatest thing that I ask for all the time is wisdom. Is wisdom. For every circumstance you encounter, you need to know what to do. Right? We need that wisdom. And a lot of time that wisdom is based upon knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Amen? Knowledge, you know what to do. Wisdom is applying that knowledge. So the knowledge comes through the Word of God. And through the Word of God, it brings you wisdom. And I believe truly that's what the Holy Spirit does. He recalls the Word of God that you've instilled in your life. And He gives you the wisdom how to apply it to your life. And that comes by consuming the Word of God. By consuming the Word of God. I don't know how many pills I take in the morning. And I mean, they're all healthy vitamins, natural stuff. Yeah, natural stuff. Yeah. And she'll put them out there on the table for me. She'll make this smoothie and this kind of stuff you need to consume. Are you listening? But it's up to me to eat them and swallow them. You know that? And I have to confess there's been times I left them there when I left the house. I don't feel like swallowing that stuff. See, I don't want to do this. I can't blame my wife, right? She put it out there for me. I don't even ask her what it is anymore. But it's there for me. How many of us could go home today and on your counter or your table, you could cover the whole table with Bibles, commentaries, Christian books? How many of you could cover your whole table with it? We're quite a few. Wow. Now, if you took your table and put all your Bibles on, all the commentaries, all your teachings and all that kind of stuff, if you put it on the table and left it there for next year, how much wiser would you be? Oh, why not? Man, you guys are awesome. Two things would take place. Man, the vine pumping into you would be fantastic. Spiritually, you'll be really growing as you consume all that. And you're going to lose weight because you can't sit at the table to eat. So it's awesome, you know. But allowing it to come in, ask. Whatever you ask for. And as the Word of God, as we concentrate on it, it takes all our frivolous acting that we would think of before we were born again, and it channels what is really important. You know, if you get a job and you need transportation, you would go from, God, I need a new car because I got a job now. I need to get to the point, hey, Lord, I need transportation. I don't care how it comes, Lord. You know what I'm saying? It just changed the way that you start thinking about it. You get a job, you're working in Cambridge. Chuck says, hey, I'll give you a ride. No, I asked God for a new car. Okay, that's wrong if you need a new car, amen? And Chuck said, okay, Starkey, awesome, I agree with you. But until it shows up, ride with me. That's wisdom. Amen? 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 Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Wow. And this is the day and the age that we want joy, do we not? And it comes through Jesus and only through Jesus. You all can make me happy from time to time. And I can make you happy from time to time. And it's good to be happy. But the rock that we stand on is the joy of the Lord. This is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that joy comes to us knowing that His Word is true. Knowing that, hey, I'm following Jesus. You know? I'm not a dead horse in the barn. He is pumping into me. I am following Him. No matter what comes my way, I still have that joy. And that is a hard thing to explain to people who don't know Jesus. Because joy isn't about any circumstances. It's about reconciliation with the Father. Again, it goes at times to the quiet times with yourself. Talking to God. You know, my wife and I did it recently with our anniversary. Just looking back, how far we have come in 44 years. Looking at all the awesome things that we encountered. All the obstacles we overcame. And here we are today, 44 years. How long have you been a Christian? 6 months? A year? 2 years? 80? You can look back and you see all that quiet time, all that God has brought you through. You can see some obstacles. You can see some things that came upon you that, but you realize, yeah, I made the wrong turn, but God brought me back. Wow. Thank you, God. That joy in your heart. You look at the world today. You look at neighbors. You look at relatives. Kids. Grandkids. Grandkids. Look at the joy you have with them. Because the same Christ, the same blood, the same Calvary that turned you around is still there today. To have that joy standing on the Word of God. Yes. Amen. And my kids, my grandkids, they're covered by the blood. As I honor God, woo, He honors His Word. And that brings a peace. Don't go by what you see. Go by what the Word of God says. What you see will only cause you to search more for the Word and speak it out. That's what you should do. Look at you. Here you are. Look at your joy. And God's still the same today as it was the day that you came to Him. Amen. Abide in me, He says. Abide in my love. To get real. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the life you've given us. And God, we just thank you for that vine. Father, we knelt our knee and surrendered to you. We become grafted in. And God, along the road, we might have got some kinks put in that vine. We might have been twisted a little bit. So Lord, we say today our heart's desire is that that vine would be untwisted completely, that we allow your flow of your word, of your strength, of your peace, of your joy, of your power into our life, that we would grow, produce fruit, Father God, and be a blossom for you in the days you've chosen for us to live. We just cast down the things today of Satan that we allowed to come into our life, that we either allow him to come in or he slipped in, whether we did it purposely or unpurposely. We just bind that spirit today of rebellion and cast it out of our life. We say, God, fill us today with your spirit. Holy Spirit, take residence in our lives from the head to the toe. And search us, that anything that's unpleasing to you be brought to our attention, that we may clean ourselves out and be a greater vessel for your love, to share that love with the world. God, we thank you that you have not given up on us. We thank you that you're hearing our prayers. We thank you, God, for brothers and sisters here and around the world that are determined to stand on your word and share your love no matter what. And Father, may revival break out. May it break out first in our hearts, God, that we'd be on fire like never before, or you rekindle us like we was at one time, God, that your passion would just come into us greater, that we may see ourselves through your eyes, God, to be encouraged that you're not done with us yet. And Father, we may see others through your eyes and see what an awesomeness that they were made in your image. And God, that we would take upon ourselves to have a burden to share that love, to show that love, and to be there with love. Don't matter their circumstances, don't matter how they've treated us in the past, may our eyes and ears be open that we may present you to them in a way that they will understand and receive. And God, all this is done for your glory. God, we just thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. God, may your hand continue to be upon this nation. Father, we had a great repentance yesterday, Father, acknowledging the need for you, Lord. And God, we know that you heard from us. We know that you're healing our land, God. So may spiritual eyes be open and ears. May we hear and see your movement like never before. May we see the instruments that you're raising up, God, to honor the request of your people as we cried out, Father. Oh, Lord, as you raised up Moses to deliver, Father, may we see the other Moseses in our communities and in the state and in the federal level, God, that you're raising up to honor the request of your people, that you are Jehovah, that you are the God of this universe, you are the God of the United States of America. And God, we just yield to you totally. All that we have belongs to you to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Any questions about today? About the vine? Okay, amen. Yep, you got a comment?
Yeah, so when you first started talking, you said the first verse, you know. So I have a rose bush at my house, and it came from my mom. And if anything that I have, like, it's got to be hardy, or it has to, like, have its own thing, because I don't take care of anything. I mean, it'll grow. If it grows, then it grows, right? So for years, I've had this thing, and it never really bloomed or anything. But every once in a while, I would get a bloom. And last year, it bloomed pretty well. And we're like, oh, wow. And Angela's mom told me, oh, you need to cut back some things. So I'm like, oh, okay, these dead things here, you need to cut those away. I'm like, okay. So I get my little scissor things, and I'm out there, and I'm cutting away all the dead stuff. And I thought something was dead, and I cut the wrong stem. Huh. And the one branch of the rose bush that had the most blooms on it, it had like 10 blooms on it, fell. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I was devastated. I'm like, the first time this thing actually blooms, and I kill it, and I cut it, and it fell to the ground.
Amen.
I'm like, oh man. But you know, this year it was bigger than ever and had more Amen. Blooms than it's ever had ever. I mean, it like wow. doubled, tripled in size, maybe. So God instantly showed me,
wow,
you know, I was devastated because something that I thought needed to be there now fell away. But
Come
because,
on.
So God's saying, if you submit yourself to me, to
wow.
him, to
Amen.
God,
Amen.
He will cut things out of your life. And you at first you might feel like you're devastated, but don't feel devastated because yeah. it needs to be cut away
yes.
because you're going to be doubled and tripled in size.
Right, Amen.
So
you can tell if he's cutting something away, because if something's in your life that doesn't line up with what the Bible says, then obviously it needs to be cut away. So Amen. It's not like a mysterious thing. God, are you cutting this away? That's why you got to read the Bible and know what the Amen. Bible says, because when something is taken out of your life, it might be needed to be trimmed out.
Amen. Yeah. And I think as we say that the Word of God is a sword, in this case it's a pruning shear also, you know. Again, as you read the Word of God and you allow it, like you're saying, to look at you, allow it to remove stuff, cut away, and you know right away whether he's pruning you or removing it because of where you're at in life. And what I thought would come to my mind, Ryan, when you shared that, I saw all this fruit of these roses, a beautiful thing, and you hit the wrong thing and it died. And that might be your life today. Maybe you were walking with Jesus and he's on fire for the Lord. It was, oh, hallelujah. Boom. And boom, you cut the wrong vine. But man, hang with Jesus. Attached to the vine. And like you're going to bloom like never before. Just learn not to cut that vine again. Amen? Amen. That's awesome. Praise. And for you to grow roses compared to yours. Mind me, your rose bush. I mean, we had people come in one time, they cut it down. I mean, they cut it down like this. And they said they knew what they were doing. And by golly, they did. Next year, I mean, we got a picture of you. It was a taller and carol, all these flowers and stuff. So, amen. So, be encouraged, stay connected to the Lord, and let him prune you. Amen. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and may he turn his face toward you and grant you peace, truly grant you peace. And may his blessing rest upon you and your household. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.